Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Heavenly Father, we need your help today, and I pray that you would give guidance and understanding. Help us to present all this information in an easily understood way, and help people to listen with a spiritual ear and understand we're in a battle. We're in a battle for our very existence, and Lord, it's not going to get better. It's probably going to get worse unless you come. And if you do, that would be fine. But until then, help us to be faithful and to stand true to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say this. As we talk about being a Baptist does not mean you're automatically going to heaven. And not being a Baptist doesn't mean you can't go to heaven. Heaven is made available to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not in a denomination, not in a church, not in any kind of teaching or anything else. It's a personal faith. It always has been, and it always will be. Baptist people at best, we are a worldly church made up of worldly people trying to live by God's word and led by His Holy Spirit. We're not perfect. We will not be this side of heaven. But God's word is perfect. And when we stand on God's word, we stand to the death. And I'm going to share with you today, I want to introduce you to some people, names of people that you've probably never heard before. Maybe a handful have, but most people have never heard some of the names that I'm going to talk to you about this morning and again tonight. Baptists are not a denomination. Denominations are Catholic Reformed. And by that I mean ones, and this year, 2017 is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther posting his 95 Theses on the Wittenberg church door 500 years ago. That was the birth of Reformation. They did not want to come out of the Catholic Church to begin with. They did not see the Catholic Church as a detriment to Christianity. That was their life. But they did see errors in the Catholic Church that they felt needed to be paid attention to. And that's why Martin Luther, once he was convinced that it was salvation by faith, began looking at the Catholic Church with a renewed vision. And he began to look at some of the things about the priests, the hierarchs of the priests, about baptism. Although he was always wrong and still wrong, they're still wrong on baptism. But the priesthood of the believers, we're going to talk to you in the morning service and tonight about the various things like that that Baptists stand for, always have. We've not always been called Baptists. We're called Baptists because we believe in baptism by immersion. That's where the term Baptist came from. And even prior to the time of Reformation, there were Baptist people, not called Baptists, not independent Baptists or anything else like that. They were Baptists because they baptized by immersion. That was a signature of them. And that's why we carry the name Baptist today with pride and hopefully with some dignity. We don't want to fight people. We don't want to be bitter enemies. Other people that are going to heaven, we're going to share heaven with them. But when there's error in doctrine, we're going to stand up and we're going to talk about it and we're going to expose it, just like Martin Luther did at the Reformation. The problem is the Reformed Church never came completely out of the Catholic Church like we think of it today. You got Catholics, Presbyterians, and Lutherans, and so on like that. They never really came out of the doctrinal position. So Baptist is not a denomination. We're not part of the Reformation. We never needed to reform. We never protested. Hence, we're not called Protestant. Other churches are called Protestant because they protested Catholic teaching, Catholic Church. We believe that we can follow the teaching of Scripture from modern day back. Maybe not man for man, family for family, but the doctrine of God's Word has always stood true. The Baptist denomination, or the Baptists as we are today, there is a Baptist denomination. Let me say that. American Baptists, Southern Baptists, they are denominational churches, and we will expose some of that too. But as independent Baptists, we're biblicists. We believe the Bible. The Bible is our only authority. We have no hierarchy over our church. Our pastor doesn't have to call anyone and say, is this okay, except the Lord. And as the Lord directs him, that's how our church goes. And that's with every Baptist church. And there are differences. Not every Baptist church is going to cross every T and dot every I like we do here. And I'll mention some of the things like that. But they're not things that we're going to split fellowship over. Reformation churches came from October 31st, 1517. And as I said, they did not want to come out of the Catholic Church. They wanted to reform it from within. Martin Luther, of course, was the father of the Lutheran Church. Presbyterians had John Calvin, John Knox, a guy named Hilderic, and Zwingli. We can trace back to their teachings and how that they were founders of these denominational churches. So the founding of those particular churches are in a man. We as Baptists believe that the Baptist Church had its founding in Christ and has continued from that point to this day. Methodists are probably our closest allies out of that group, and John and Charles Wesley, and some great, great revivals came out of the Wesleys and the Methodist movement. And that's not to be put down. I'm not at all against that, but they were still part of the Reformation. A guy named George Whitefield was a contemporary with John and Charles Wesley. But as he began to study Scripture and exposed to it, he became a Baptist and is one of the greatest Baptist evangelists that we had here in early America. And literally thousands and thousands of people were saved at the preaching of Whitefield and churches established. Now, there's a term called Anabaptist, Anabaptist. And it's derived from the words meaning re-baptize. You see, the Catholic Church, let me give you a history of the Catholic Church. Around 300, Constantine had been a dictator of civil government, and there had been the church government over here that they kept trying to put down, tried to obliterate and put out. And then Constantine came up with this idea, why not bring the church under the hierarchy of the state and let the head of state be the leader of the church? And hence, Constantine demanded all of his army to be baptized and become members of that church, and they brought all the churches in. So that was the beginning of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. Later on came the Pope. Peter was not the first Pope, in case you didn't know that. Later on, a Pope was named, and through all the years, they have changed and changed and changed. They are not secure, because if a Pope under what he believes the leadership of God, says we're going to change this and do this, then that becomes the criteria for the Catholic Church. For Baptists, always has been and always will be this book. We've misunderstood it. There's been misinterpretations of it. Until the Lord comes, it'll continue to be that way, but we base everything that we are, everything that we believe, and everything that we do on the Word of God, and things that we don't do based on the Word of God. So the Anabaptists, even prior to the Catholic Church, in A.D. 50, they were called Montanists. In A.D. 240, Novitanes. 305, Donatists. And then later on were some other groups that rebaptized. Now, what did they rebaptize? See, prior to that, the church, even prior to the Catholic Church, began the baptism of infants to bring them in the church with this theory. Their initial sin is washed away by that water baptism. They're brought into the church. Their will has nothing to do with it. It's the family saying, we're bringing our baby in. We're going to baptize. Hence, they went from submersion on baptism to sprinkling some water on them as a mode of baptism. And all that happened before the Catholic Church. That was not started, the Catholic Church. And even prior to that, there were people that believed that, number one, you believed. Number two, you were saved. Number three, you were added to the church. Okay? And as a result, when a person was old enough and a child that had been baptized or sprinkled or whatever they did as an infant came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, at that time, they were re-baptized. Now, the Baptist... and we refer to those people as Baptists because they baptized by immersion. They were not Baptists by a denominational name, but they're referred to as Baptists by baptizing. Now, the Baptists never accepted infant baptism, so they rejected the name rebaptized. Rebaptized would be if you were saved, baptized, and for some reason baptized again. That baptism to begin with was not considered a baptism. So they rejected the name Anabaptist, but all these groups out there lumped them all together. Any groups that believed in salvation by faith, accepting Christ as Savior, were called Anabaptists. They had some doctrinal differences. They were not all straight down the line. And even today, 2,000 years later, we're not all straight down the line. We're as straight as we can be. We base what we do on Scripture. But there are some things that are not debatable. Salvation by faith. Baptism after belief. That is scriptural, always has been from the time of Christ, and always will be. So Anabaptists, they rejected infant baptism, and they rejected the wrong modes of baptism. And even today, the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Lutheran Church still sprinkle, and the Catholic Church still. Now, some of them probably do submerge, but as a general practice, they just sprinkle a little bit of water on them or something to that effect. That is not baptism. That's why when somebody walks the aisle here, and maybe they've been saved. We're not saying that they're not saved because they weren't properly baptized. Maybe they walk the aisle and they say, I got saved at such and such a date, and give a clear-cut testimony, but they're from a church that, number one, either teaches baptismal regeneration, that you have to be baptized to be saved, or they were baptized in a method that's not scriptural. That's why when they come, before they can become a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we will baptize them again. not rebaptize them, but baptize them properly for the first time. And if you're here and you're thinking about becoming a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's something to take in consideration. And you've never been properly baptized, believe, accept the Lord as your Savior, then baptized by immersion, then you need to consider that. Now, some of the things the Reformationists, the Catholic Reformed come out. Number one, Martin Luther wanted salvation by faith. He became convinced that it was by faith. They also opposed the extravagance of the church, of both the priest and the clergy in the church. Do you realize, and I don't think there's any way to verify this, and this is my opinion, so you can quote me, but if you do, it's my opinion. But I bet the Catholic Church has trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars of assets that are under the authority of Rome. It is probably the richest organization that's ever been on the face of the earth. And a lot of that money is used to oppose Baptists. Confessionals, they did not believe that a person need to go to a confessional and confess their sins. They believe there was one mediator. They took the Bible as it says, one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those were just some of the things that they were against. Now, the church started in biblical times by Christ and the apostle. The Catholic Church was not started by Peter. He was not the first pope. He was everything opposed to what the Catholic Church is. And for him to be the pope, everything we got about Peter in Scripture would be totally, totally out. Now, there are some terms that we use today when we talk about Baptists, not as denominational Baptists, but as practicing Baptists, baptizing by immersion, believing the Bible, adhering only to the Bible as our rule of faith. We're independent. That means we are not dependent on any man outside of our local church. When this church was established back in 1973, it became an independent church. Now, there are some of our Baptist brethren today that believe that a Baptist church ought to be birthed by a Baptist church. I agree with that, but I have a reservation against it. Like, we're the mother church of White River Baptist Church. We're the mother church of Victory Baptist. That's good because in the infancy, they answer back to us, and so on. But some churches were started without the oversight of a mother church. Now, does that mean that any church operating that way or that has new churches under their auspices, that they are not of the independent Baptist? I disagree with that. There are some brethren that believe that you need to be a Baptist, baptized by a Baptist, Baptist church started by a Baptist church. And my problem with that is the proof. You know, how can you prove that any church has that lineage? I mean, all the way back to the time of Christ. We don't have those kind of records. We do have God's Word. So a church is a church based upon operating on the authority of Scripture. So we're independent. We're not under a denomination. We do not have to get permission. When a pastor leaves our church, nobody outside this church sends a pastor in. Many of the denominational churches, their headquarters will assign pastors to their churches. That is not scriptural. Never has been and never will be. Another term that we use is fundamental. And I want to explain that to you because fundamental can be a good term or a bad term. When we're talking about the Catholic Reform, they're referred to as fundamentalists, okay, in some circles. We are not fundamentalists like they are. We are fundamentalists in this, our belief in and total dependence upon the Word of God. Also, being pre-tribulation and pre-millennium. The others that are called fundamentalists primarily are amillennial or post-millennial. And I've got some stuff to give you, and I don't know that I can get it all to you today. There's so much material on this. I would challenge you, get on your internet and Google things, Baptist heritage, old time Baptist, anything Baptist, and look back. Now be careful who you're reading and what you're reading, but there is so much material out there that it's just mind-boggling. So post-millennial, they believe that there is going to be a governmental system as a head with a religious system controlled by that governmental top. Much like Constantine did with the Catholic Church, brought the Catholic Church under the authority of government rule. Well, they're still headed in that direction today. And their philosophy is that the world's going to get better and better and better, and then the Lord's going to come back post-millennial after the thousand-year reign. Well, I've got news for them. It ain't getting better and better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But what they're working towards is setting up a system of government that is going to draw the religion back under that. And then they will take control, and supposedly this government religious unity will establish a worldwide church that is going to be prepared and ready and have the world ready so that when the Lord comes, we can present it to him as a gift. Well, it ain't going to happen that way. It just isn't going to happen. Now, let me tell you, one of the reasons we know this is true, and I wasn't aware of this till I just did some studying this week. Our schools, including our private schools, not all of them, Abeka curriculum, Bob Jones curriculum, our public school curriculum has very, very, very little Baptist history. They have excluded it. America is what America is today because of the Baptist movement when they came to America. The Puritans did not come to America for religious freedom. They came to America to set up a puritanical government like the post-millennialists. But it was guys like Roger Williams, John Clark, Obadiah Holmes up in Rhode Island that were friends of Jefferson and many of the ones that wrote the Constitution and the things that we have that way, and influence them for religious freedom. Not religious tolerance, religious freedom. Tolerance means, we'll let them do what they want. Religious freedom means I can be wrong, but I have the right to be wrong. But if I'm right, I have the right to be right. And no government, no hierarchy has the authority to dictate my conscience. That's one of the main principles of Baptist distinctives. We'll talk to you about that later on. We have a conscience that is personally responsible to God. Now, let's talk about when the church was actually established. Matthew 16:15 says, he saith unto them, and the verses, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, a stone, a pebble compared to the Lord, and upon this rock, the confession, not Peter, but upon this confession, I will build my church. Now you say, well, I don't read that in there. Study the scripture, the rest of it. This rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why we believe it started here, and right now, today, it's still in existence as it was started back here. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They're going to battle against it. There's going to be ups and downs, but the church has never been. During the Dark Ages, they look at that back there, no religious influence, baloney. There were people back there preaching the gospel and souls being saved. They had to hide out in the mountains. They had to do everything they could. They did it at fear of losing their life. But they preached the gospel and won souls to Christ. The church of God is eternal. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the next question is, exactly when did the church begin? Well, Christ is the cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Who's the living stone? Sure, not Peter. Peter's dead. Peter was so humble that tradition tells us he was crucified like Christ, but he never felt comfortable being crucified as the Savior, and they hung him upside down on a cross. Now, I can't verify that, but I've read that and heard that. And all the apostles except the Apostle John were all martyred in the early days. And it didn't stop back then. Martyrdom is still going on to this very day of Bible-believing preachers around the world. Here in America, we're sheltered. We're so blessed of material. I say blessed of material things. I can almost say we're cursed with material things, that materialism has become our God. To whom coming is under a living stone, Jesus Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up, spiritual house. That's what the church is. We're building the church. And let me say here now, there's a local church, and there is not an invisible church per se. There's the body of Christ that'll be completed when Christ comes back. It's never met. It has no authority. It has no pastor. It has... Now, the local church is the way God works in this world. And the local church answers to God, not to anybody outside. But we are the spiritual house. We're being made up of the body of Christ. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You can believe in Peter and be confounded up and down all around. But when you believe on Christ, he's the solid rock. Amen. Now, exactly when did the church start? And we got good men that are on different things. But most of us believe that the church started in one of three places. Number one, with John the Baptist. And some people like to think they can trace their lineage all the way from present back to John the Baptist. I don't know, and I'm not going to argue with them. The second one was that the church was established the day that Peter made his confession there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And the other is on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the body of Christ. I'm not going to argue with anybody over it. God knows when it started. And it's not absolutely necessary for you and I to be able to pinpoint that day. Different men on different sides have their arguments for it. And like I say, that's not something I'm going to argue with and split fellowship over. But the day is coming. The day is coming that we as Baptists are going to have to take a stand. Remember, I mentioned to you about this post-millennial. We always thought, and I always thought up until I started doing this study, that our enemy was the state. I mean, I realize Presbyterian, that we don't agree on a lot of doctrinal issues, but I never looked at them as an enemy. But I'll be truthful with you, if what I read is true, I'm beginning to change my mind. Because some of the things they did back in the early part of this century to take control of our educational system and to obliterate all Baptist history. Oh, an occasional mention of someone like Roger Williams in New England area, and John Clark. John Clark, I believe, started the First Baptist Church in Rhode Island, and some of the things like that. I'm trying to quote from memory. I may be wrong on some of the exact, but this is what happened. I know that John Clark was one of the prime factors that got out, was actually kicked out of the New England area for being a Baptist. Obadiah Holmes, we're going to talk about Obadiah Holmes and Shubal Stern throughout this day. Those are two names that you need to remember. Obadiah Holmes and Shubal Stern. You never hear anything about either one of them in the history of American history. And let's face it, what's being taught to our kids in schools today, the public schools, and maybe even in some of the Christian schools, have no clue as to Baptist history. Oh, Baptist history, that's religious. No, Baptist history is scriptural. And it's part of American history. And America is what it became because of the freedom and the religious liberty of those men of God back there that were willing to place their lives on the line for what the Scripture said. And the day's coming that you and I may have to do that. Let me introduce you to one man. Probably never heard his name. You may never hear it again after today. Ellert Janson. Ellert Janson. In the year 1549, there lay in prison at Amsterdam on account of religion about 20 persons called Anabaptists. Now, I realize this is before American history, but American history is full of names just like Ellert's. All of whom but five men and three women made their escape out of the 20 by the help of some kind and sympathizing friends. A certain tailor named Ellert Janson might have escaped with his companions, But he refused, saying, I am now so well satisfied to be offered up and feel myself at present so happy that I do not expect to be hereafter better prepared. He was lame in one of his legs, thought that he might escape. He would be easily discovered and retaken. This is what he thought. He therefore stayed behind voluntarily and was burnt on 20th of March, 1549, with the other four men and three women, according to their sentence. This sentence, for that they had suffered themselves to be re-baptized and had wrong notions of the sacraments. We'll talk to you about sacraments, Lord's Supper. He was being led to execution. He cried out, this is the most joyful day in my whole life. Do you have that kind of faith? If not, better dig into the Word of God and find out. I'm older. I may be dead and gone, but I believe, young people, some of this is what you're going to have to look forward to. Will you stand as old timers did, or will you succumb and just sort of fade into the crowd? I hope we got a bunch of young men, young women up here, and some of you young couples up here that'll say, by the grace of God, this is the joyful, most joyful day of my life. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me share this information today. Lord, what a blessing it's been in studying it, but how heart-shaking it is to realize what can happen and very likely will happen in the future. Help us to be true to you, Lord. If there's one here today that has never accepted Christ, may today be the day of salvation. May they come to a true saving knowledge. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.